It's 2:30 in the morning on Friday the 8th of January 2016. And in a few hours' time, I will be travelling across London to a hotel on the edge of Zone 1 in order to train with my second guide dog, Geo, a German Shepherd Cross Golden Retriever. I'll tell you more about him in another recording. But I wanted to do a boo now because it struck me that there was quite a contrast between the first time I trained and this second time. Not just in how long I've waited for a dog. This time, things have come together, frankly, rather nicely, with Vance retiring last week and me beginning training within 6 days. I also had the opportunity to work Geo on a couple of occasions in the autumn, including on a night walk, which really gave me a very good idea of how he responds in certain circumstances and what he feels like in harness. And I feel that I was able to make a very well-educated decision about whether to agree to be matched with him. Last time I trained, by contrast, I had been on the waiting list for 2 years, and in fact had initially applied for a guide dog about 5 months before that. It had been a very long, frustrating, tedious wait, and also one without an awful lot of information to quell my thirst for knowledge on what it was like to work a guide dog, and still less to actually train with one. Today there's a wealth of information out there, including my own audio diaries from when I trained with Vance 6.5 years ago. But as I said, that isn't the main thing that I wanted to contrast. What's noteworthy for me is in my preparation for class. Last time, I had been working in Southampton for a time, and I remember my mum coming down to stay a couple of days before I was due to start training. We had a couple of nice days out. We went to Poole Harbour and to the island of Brownsea, which was a lovely day out. And we also went to the final Friday, I think, of Cowes Week on the Isle of Wight, watching some of the yacht racing and also seeing the Red Arrows perform. It was a really lovely time. Allowed me to relax and calm down, frankly, before going into the unknown with guide dog training. We then travelled back to London, and I was driven down to Guildford for the training on what I think was a Monday morning, but I can't quite remember. What I didn't know at that point was that that morning when I left my flat in Richmond would actually be the last time I would set foot in that place. I had been there 3 years, but difficulties with them accepting my guide dog, or more accurately, allowing him to spend within their car park meant that I wasn't able to return there, and that my parents had to help at very short notice with finding me an alternative flat to rent in time for my return from Southampton to London about a month after training finished. So in many ways I was quite well prepared for training. I may not have known what I was going into, but I was rested and calm and ready for it. This time hasn't been quite so simple. Although the matching went really well, the time running up to Vance's retirement was challenging. Although I had a lovely Christmas with my family, Vance, as I think I've talked about on Audioboo, had an emergency in the middle of that time, and we had to seek emergency veterinary care on Christmas Day, or at least advice, not care. And whilst his condition improved markedly in the days that followed, and he was able to come back to Richmond with me, and we had a brilliant final walk on New Year's Eve, walking along, well, as New Year's Eve turned into New Year's Day, in fact, and with fireworks exploding everywhere, Vance did a brilliant walk along the Thames in Richmond and back to my flat, and what would prove to be his final walk in harness. A brilliant, brilliant one to go out on. But all of the issues around his health caused a fair bit of stress, as did in the autumn uncertainty around where he would be retired to. Eventually, guide dogs agreed to what I think was the only answer, really, that he should go to my parents, people who he's very familiar with, comfortable with. But it took a while to get there, and that was also quite stressful. And then, whilst I don't talk about work on Audioboo, let's just say that there's a reason why I'm up at 2:30 in the morning after my final day at work before beginning training. I'm currently feeling quite stressed and tired, and not at all in the right frame of mind. I've only had 6 days without a dog, and that's been good. Good that it's so short. I'm no fan of using the cane. I've been able to work from home, thankfully, but I did have to go somewhere out of London on one day, Tuesday, which meant using the cane to walk to and from the station in the dark, which was very stressful. I didn't enjoy it. Some people are very proficient, confident, competent cane users. I'm not one of those. I don't like it. I feel very awkward with it. Maybe it's just I don't get enough practice, thankfully. but it's not a positive experience for me. Every step of the way when using the cane this week, I've looked forward to having a guide dog once more. I'm thinking back to this and thinking what I can say, because it's difficult in some ways to actually explain, at least for me, what a stressful experience it was. And how vulnerable it made me feel. How much more reliant on other people I think I would be if I had to use it all the time. I had thought that if I'd had to wait a long time for a guide dog that I would be okay. But I'm so glad now that I don't have to wait that time. I'm fiercely independent, as those who know me more will probably testify. Whilst I'm perfectly capable and do seek help if I really need it, I still don't take it in circumstances where many others do, using the railways, for instance, or using the tube. But on Tuesday, travelling back through Lewes Station in East Sussex, which is quite a complicated station, it's on a junction, and so it has platforms at very strange angles. Using it, I felt quite alone and overwhelmed by the challenge of doing it, afraid of the potential risks. And I found, I suppose, a newfound respect for those, not only those who have to navigate using the cane in that way, but those who theoretically have the choice of using a guide dog, but choose to continue using the cane as their preferred form of mobility aid. So that's where I am, middle of the night, with 9 hours, 10 hours to go before I need to head over to begin my training. I haven't packed yet. I'm absolutely starving. I need some sleep. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty rubbish, actually. But hopefully things will get better. I'm really looking forward to seeing Gio again tomorrow. I know that things will probably not be straightforward. Training with a guide dog isn't a simple thing. I intend to chart the ups and downs of it. I did this last time around, and my recordings are available on Audioboo. Search for guide dog training diary, and or on my profile there is a playlist of those recordings. Unfortunately, presented in the reverse order. But if you haven't heard them before, you might find them interesting. I intend to do various recordings whilst I'm on training this time. Probably not in such a formal way as last time, where I recorded them all on a recording device and then subsequently edited them down. Pardon me. These will be just me talking into my phone, as I'm doing now, or maybe recording the occasional walk or the like. But hopefully it will still be interesting and a useful resource for others thinking of going, of applying for a guide dog, waiting to be matched with one, waiting for training, or going through training themselves. I hope that everybody finds it interesting and useful. And now I'm starting to repeat myself, I'd better stop and either sleep or eat or do something more useful.